You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, your channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who share business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. And now, broadcasting from anywhere between Brazil, South America to Los Angeles, California, it is your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Today, we are speaking with Tali Derry, the CEO of Better Air North America, LLC, a company whose automatic environmental probiotic air and surface purifiers boost good bacteria or probiotics in the air and on surfaces. Tali, a pleasure to have you this morning on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, you're more than welcome, and looking forward to hearing all about Better Air North America. So you have a very interesting background, by the way, having described yourself as a worldly entrepreneur and a business development enthusiast who believes in sustainable and exponential growth through dedication, exploration, and a winning strategy. Tell us a bit about yourself and your career path that led you to entrepreneurial ventures.
Basically, I immigrated to the United States, came on a trip about 22 years ago. After a couple of years, I started college here. I did not even graduate high school back in Israel, my home country. I started working in a printing company. And within a couple of weeks of entering that environment, that new environment, I started creating changes in a system that just simply didn't work. Wasn't efficient, so I would they would still type invoices on a typewriter, and talking about this, you know, at a time that there were computers and accounting systems around. And I started shifting, you know, bringing systems in, creating an accounting system before I even knew anything about accounting, and just taking over the business without even paying attention that I was just brought in as a, I guess, as an operator or a secretary. And that started, I guess I started realizing who I am within the business, that I don't operate as an employee, which is, I highly implore with anyone who's entering a new career to take over as if the business is yours, to behave and love the business as if it's yours. Why waste time and just be idle when you can create and make a difference and actually be noticeable? So that started a career in printing, and that my husband then joined the company, became a partner. I left into my accounting ventures. At the same time, I was studying accounting in Baruch College in New York, and I was doing my master's degree in taxation, and I was an intern in a CPA firm back in New York City, and I was offered an opportunity in PricewaterhouseCoopers in the international tax department, which was very exciting to me because I love to travel. So I thought it would be a good opportunity to see the world. It took me about 4 days on the job to realize that I'm not fit for a big company structure. I'm more entrepreneurial than that. I asked my manager after 3 days basically how long it would take me to make partner, and I figured out 14 years on average is longer than I could sustain in one environment, you know, growing through the grapevine. And I left PricewaterhouseCoopers, which was a wonderful and honorable opportunity for me. Called my husband, went to Costco, bought myself a laptop, and opened my own business. So that was my first CPA firm, basically in 2005. It took me several years to realize that I might be a good CPA, but it's not managing a CPA firm is not my best use. And I merged my CPA firm 4 years ago with a bigger firm that can manage better than I do. While I'm still a partner in the new firm, I have a very distinct role that fits my personality, and I ventured out to entrepreneurship, which is really what I'm all about. And that works amazingly well, and it's a great advantage that we have in the free world, that we're actually free. to choose and to understand ourselves and know who we are and develop who we want to be, and then match our careers where we're spending most of our waking hours to match who we are and not fight who we are and resist being in a job that we just have to be in. It's an awful feeling. I think it's the biggest jail the 21st century or the 20th century has created for us, is a work that we're not feeling fulfilled in.
Certainly agree with you there, and quite a background, I might add, as well. Thanks for sharing that in further detail. So, Tali, as an entrepreneur, what has been the biggest risk that you've taken in your career and for your company?
I think there are many risks. I think the biggest risk is trying to live a life of not having any risk, meaning to border yourself with safety, with the illusion of safety. But for me, the biggest risk was to settle for a career that I knew is not good enough for me, that I don't shine in, that I'm good at, but I'm not thriving or I'm not flourishing. And as a positive person in general, I can make any situation a positive experience, but I believe that we should strive for the ultimate experience. And that takes risk, meaning you, in order to let go of something that works, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But if it works, to let go of it is a challenge. It's the biggest risk of all, I believe. But staying in an uncomfortable situation or something that's not fulfilling, and you know you can do better than that, I believe this is the biggest risk of all. And for me, specifically, the staying in the CPA environment full-time was a challenge. The deadlines, the tax deadlines, and the just the rhythm of the work, the load of the work was. The income was great. The growth was there rather automatically. So it was a comfortable position, but it was not a growing position for me. I didn't grow as a person. At some point I learned what I had to learn, and I felt like I'm not making a difference, which is a big element in my life. And I wanted to make a great impact and a major impact somewhere. And I felt if I continue this way, I will have to forego my biggest dream, is to make a difference. So I think the biggest risk was to stay in an environment that's not big enough for me.
Also, Tali, what has been the driving force behind your success, and how do you feel that has helped you so far?
So I think along life you've encountered many driving forces. I think my biggest one starting out was the fact that I had nothing to fall on. So I had to make it on my own with my husband, who was my boyfriend at the time. And I think when you have no, you know, you don't have any backing, you find powers to do things that when you're comfortable, you just are not aware that those powers and your this energy is within you, and you don't use it, you don't tap into it because you don't have to. However, when you are, you know, you're on your own, out of your conscious decision or by force, then I believe you have, and you have big dreams, you have to make it through. So for me, not having parents that that supported us financially on both sides, we come from very poor families, and we had to make it on our own, was a great driving force. Other than that, is my biggest driving force. I also went through several seminars for self-improvement and growth, with whether it's Tony Robbins or the Landmark Forum before that. And I knew that I have to make a difference. So, and that's true to my environment, to my career, to who I am as a parent, as a friend. So I think all around I knew that one motive in my life is we need to make a difference. It can't be that I was born, I lived, and then I died, and really nothing happened in the world because of all of those. So that's definitely a major one, creating a dent in the universe, like we say.
And I also appreciate your sharing that on a personal note as well. Today, we're joined by Tali Derry, the CEO of Better Air North America, LLC, a company whose automatic environmental probiotic air and surface purifiers boost good bacteria and probiotics in the air and on surfaces here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Also, health and wellness is important in your life, obviously. Can you tell us a bit about the role that this has played in your career and how that relates to your current focus on developing global markets for envirobiotics to improve indoor air quality, which is certainly an issue in today's growing population?
Of course. So health and wellness has always been, not always, I guess. I guess as we grow up, we learn more and more about what's not evident and what I guess companies and societies are trying to hide. But the results are still there. So I suffer personally from allergies and I see what's going on. I read a lot, and I read a lot of the statistics of what's going on around. When Better Air approached me for their global development, I tried the product, and it was very self-evident. And there is a new way of doing things around now. I'm also a consumer. So just to give you a little background, envirobiotics are basically probiotic bacteria, essential bacteria, but we use strains that are good for the environment as opposed to strains. It's the same family of bacteria that you would have in a yogurt or fermented food, meaning they've been around before human beings have been around. But within those families, there are many strains. We use the strains that are suitable for an environment. And what they do is they do competitive inhibition of other allergens, pathogens, and mold. And we release them on an hourly basis through the air duct or through a standalone unit on a desk into homes and office buildings and the likes, like schools and so on. So I guess just simply looking around and seeing what doesn't work and something doesn't make sense. I have seen what antibiotics are doing inside our body. That's not to say not to take antibiotics, but we do have to be aware of the havoc it's creating with our microbial imbalances and all the other diseases that we now understand are connected to those imbalances, like obesity and a slew of other, if it's concentration and cognitive behaviors and certain cancers are even related to lack of or a shortage of good bacteria or essential bacteria or lack of balance inside our body. Well, our buildings are a structure and they have a microbial balance of their own. The problem is they're man-made buildings. They weren't designed like a mountain in Switzerland would have been by the creator. And they host a slew of bacteria. We keep cleaning, or I quote unquote, we use antibiotics regularly with our cleaning supplies, with UV lights and HEPA filters and the other bacteria killing machines, but we fail to bring back the good bacteria we just killed. So, and there is another issue. Bacteria don't reside in the air, so we can keep cleaning the air as much as we want. They don't colonize in the air. They colonize on surfaces and inside objects, primarily under the carpets, inside mattresses. That's true to mold as well. They're not out in the open. They like the darkness. They like humidity and safe areas where you cannot clean them. So I think with Better Air, we said, okay, let's look at a growing area of discovery, which is probiotics inside our body, and see what other applications can we have, and how can we create a better balance inside our buildings. Now, it's one thing to take care of your body and make sure you have microbial balance inside, but in fact, we're spending over 90% of our time indoors, which means that we're in contact, breathing, touching, and coming in contact with contaminants in the environment as well. Unfortunately, we don't spend enough time indoors where there should be a balance, so the balance can maintain itself. We are living in structures where other people bring their own bacteria. Mold is growing in air ducts. air ducts are not being cleaned. There is no protocol for cleaning air ducts. And if they were, it would be once a year at best. There is no technology today to automatically clean air ducts other than Better Air's technology. So with all that said, I felt that there is a major play here to grow not a company, but really an industry that understands that wellness is not only from within, but wellness has to be also from without. We always said that if the fish in a fishbowl is sick, we don't take it to the vet. We change the first reaction, the smart reaction would be to change the water. And us in Better Air, we bring good bacteria on an automatic and repetitive basis into buildings. In effect, we're changing the water or the air around us, the microbial balance of bacteria and mold and allergens around us, and therefore we are impacted by it in a positive, sustainable way.
Yeah, personally, I've never thought about how much we are indoors and how that could benefit or be going against our health and wellness. So really good points there. I also understand one of your greatest joys is traveling. You mentioned that earlier. How has that influenced your life and life's ambitions, and how has that helped you in your current role to expand Better Air's global presence?
So traveling has always interplayed into my decisions. Also, when you decide on a career, you want to take your big stones into considerations before life fills in with whatever. You probably know the story of the professor that put some big stones into a jar and asked the students if the jar is full, and the students said yes, but then they put the small stones that infiltrated in between, and then the sand, and then water, and then the jar was full. I think the biggest stones have to be placed first. If you know that you are an explorer and a traveler in your core, and you put yourself in a career with it, you couple yourself with a career, you marry a career that would not allow for it. If it's temporary, meaning while you go through school, I understand that. But if it's something that you want to grow into, you're always going to have a conflict if you cannot live your life passion or your biggest passion. Other than my family, my kids, my husband, traveling is a big joy of mine. And I was looking for a career that will allow me to travel around the world, see other cultures, learn languages, meet people that are different than us, learn from them, teach them, and interact on a larger scale with the world around us. And that always keeps me interested and at times it also brought out my sophistication because, not always could we afford traveling the way we like to. So through creativity, I found, 9 years ago, the idea of what if we exchange homes, for instance, and then it saves the hotel and the car rental, which are major issues. Also, you can eat one or two meals at home. And you live in another city, like a local, which for me is a much bigger, much bigger interest to really get to know local neighborhoods around the world as opposed to living in the center of town of a touristic city and really not get the real feel of the place, the people that live there. So we started doing home exchanges about 9 years ago, and that's been fascinating. We got to live everywhere in the world. So we're basically living outside of the country 2 months of the year in the summer. And in the winter, we usually exchange houses as well. And that's been a fascinating process. We met people from all over the world. And then we combine it with business. So global expansion of a business entails some traveling. You get to know the place both from a touristic and historical and food-wise, but also the people and the way they do business, which is very different from place to place, their fears and their challenges as well as their successes. And you try to learn maybe how to do things better. How is it being done better in other countries? So, for instance, Australia is a very green country. Their thought is green and sustainable. That's their thought process. It's not about making the most money. And then you find places that you just aligned with the mentality, better, you try to bring it into your life. In other areas, you want to make a change. So I've traveled to countries that are anti-Semitic by law. I mean, it's a law. They would not buy a product of Israel, for instance. And then you have to deal with that issue. And it's just such a fascinating, let's put it this way, it's like reading a series of books or watching a series on TV, but you never know what comes next. So it keeps you interested, and you also, you become a problem solver, and it's very, very challenging, interesting, fun, creative. It just, you keep changing with what you're facing as opposed to settle down into one reality thinking it's the only one. So that's been a wonderful journey, and Better Air is definitely, it's an amazing goal. In the U.S., we have a lot of indoor sick building syndrome issues. Outside of the U.S., the problem is so much larger. For instance, India and China, the air is so polluted that it's so easy for them to get sick, and their medical systems are not up to par to take care of the problem. So there was no awareness until now for air quality and indoor sick building syndrome. And now that they're starting to be aware of the problem is so big. 13 out of the 20 most polluted cities in the world are in India. And they're starting to wake up and smell the coffee. And Better Air is definitely an answer, and it jives with their mentality for prevention as opposed to treatment. So I feel there's so much work outside in the world as well as in the U.S. that, of course, it keeps us engaged and excited for the long term to create a revolution in the way we clean indoors.
Some really good information there. Thanks for that as well. Lastly, many business schools now have courses in entrepreneurship as we focus back on entrepreneurship again. If you were to devise a life course for future entrepreneurs, what advice would you give to them, and what would your curriculum consist of?
Wow, that's a good one. Well, I have it already. Just need to write the program. So I feel the major missing part in education today, especially for the younger generation that's coming out of colleges, is life skills. I feel like they are learning skills that Google can teach them throughout their life, but they're not learning the skills that would really get them through all the way to success. Those major, I would have a major in human relations and in overcoming obstacles, meaning I would have a whole course about problem solving. Think about those riddles that, you tell the whole riddle and then everybody's guessing the answer wrong, and then you come up with an answer that has nothing to do with the riddle. I mean, the information wasn't there. And people ask me, well, you didn't tell me that. I'm like, in business, you don't know all the details. People throw a curve at you and you have to figure it out. And this mentality of we had to have this information in advance is not a real life condition. Not on the road. You have to be aware of what's coming up. You have to be available, and you have to be fluid, not fixed on a specific agenda. And you have to understand that there another course that I would teach is human traits, just human behavior. Understanding egos and understanding people's, when they say something, what do they mean? What do they really mean? And not listen to the actual words, but listen to the tone of voice, reading facial expressions and body language. All those life skills, I feel, are so much more important. Of course, it's important to learn accounting and finance and management and marketing, and it's all good stuff and necessary. You need to know that when you come out of a business school, but you definitely have to learn how to negotiate, how to overcome obstacles and objections and rejection, how to like people and love people and show them love and work in teamwork. I would have a whole course on teamwork and an analysis, not just of financials, but really analysis of where you're standing in a team. So there's so much to learn today that's so much more viable. And I have nothing against history. I love history and I love art and I love geography. But I feel that life skills, people skills, communication is key. And that has to be taught first. If I had a few hours, that's where I would invest them in an entrepreneurship, I guess, master's degree.
Well, Tali, it certainly has been more than a pleasure to have had you with us. A lot of great information here for your background, your company, your experience, and all that you've shared here with the audience. Thanks so much. Where can listeners get further details on your company, Better Air North America, online?
So, obviously, they can go to our website. It's betterairus.com. And they can contact us, and we are always in touch with people who have questions and explain the technology and new way of cleaning.
Again, Tali, it's been our pleasure. Thanks for your time and for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. All the best.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
And you're more than welcome. We've been speaking with Tali Derry, the CEO of Better Air North America, LLC, a company whose automatic environmental probiotic air and surface purifiers boost good bacteria and probiotics in the air and on surfaces. And for further details, simply visit betterairus.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Tune in to our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live with a new app coming to accompany our live stream in the coming weeks. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to Enterprise Radio here on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. To subscribe for future programming, simply visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.